everybody, on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. So glad you are with us this morning. The American Visionary Art Museum has opened its 20th original exhibition. It's called The Visionary Experience, St. Francis to Finster. And my guests this morning are the co-curators of that new show. Rebecca Hofberger is the founder and director of AVAM. She joins me in the studio. And Jody Willey is a filmmaker and publisher who has documented the work of self-taught artists and explored various aspects of American subcultures. She joins us on the phone from Los Angeles. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
So, Rebecca, we'll talk about this exhibition, but first, 20 years you've been having shows. You actually started, the idea for AVAM came 25 years ago, and you spent about 5 years, you know, getting it together, getting the money raised, getting the building built, getting things. I mean, this has been a real labor of love for you. Where do things stand in the panoply of visionary art now, 20 years hence from when you first opened the museum?
Well, that couldn't have been done without a lot of people. Leroy Hofberger, surely, and Dame Anita Roddick of blessed memory. Many people really made this happen. We turned 19, actually, this Thanksgiving, and then we go into our 20th year. And it's been more successful than I could have ever dreamed. And I dream big.
Yes, you do.
So I'm thankful to everybody, and we love that Baltimore is the home of our National Museum.
And has the scene for visionary art changed dramatically in the 20 years that you've been doing this?
I think the hunger for it globally has increased. When I had the idea, there were about 13 small locations around the world, the Museum of the Subconscious or the Museum of Art Brut in Lausanne. And today there are probably about 30 locales. And the government of Finland sent a team just to Baltimore, nowhere else in the U.S., just to almost copy what we've done there. So they've really proliferated. I just got back from Paris, where I visited our sister museum, and they said, oh, we had the most great, you know, compliment. Someone said, we are the American Visionary Art Museum of Europe.
Oh, nice.
And that felt great.
Yeah, I bet it did. So, Jody Willey, we last talked when you were in town, and we screened a movie you did called The Source Family. It was part of our Maryland Film Festival WYPR Spotlight series, a fascinating movie about a guy named Father Yode and a cult of followers that he had in the 60s and 70s. He was quite a character, and he and the group are included in the exhibition at AVAM. Tell us a little bit about Father Yode.
Sure, yes. Father Yode and the Source Family are actually in our Mystic Mavericks room at the museum show with a number of groups throughout American history who have had visionary leaders and encouraged visionary experiences in their own practices and beliefs. And the Source Family in particular was a group from Los Angeles, and they were together from 1969 to 1975 after he passed away. And they were a community that lived together in the mansions of Hollywood Hills, and they operated the most popular health food restaurant in the country at the time, the Source Restaurant, which was actually featured in Annie Hall in the breakup scene with Woody Allen and Diane Keaton. So they were very influential in the realm of health food and healthy eating, and yet they had this wildly unconventional lifestyle that a lot of people didn't even know about. But Father Yode, they all lived together communally in these mansions. Father Yode had 14 wives, and he actually fronted his own psychedelic rock band and looked like Moses. And and so it was a very unconventional group, but influential in progressive ways, which is, you know, in some ways typical of these groups.
So, Rebecca Hofberger, the show is called The Visionary Experience, from St. Francis to Finster. Finster refers to Reverend Howard Finster, a visionary artist. We'll talk about him in a second, but why did you start with St. Francis, and how does one get from St. Francis to Father Yode all in the same show? What's their connection?
I'm very interested in what has always been the human experience of where do all these great inspirational ideas come from, whether they be in finding a cure, a medical cure, or an invention, or a new piece of music. I was fascinated that Puccini said, you know, I never wrote one note myself of Madame Butterfly. That was entirely dictated to me by God. And St. Francis you know, had this moment that's very similar to the visionary experience of many of our artists. Privileged playboy, good-looking, well-off family, but had experience going to war, and then experienced a near-death experience from health issues, and came out renouncing all of the illusionary aspects of the material world, and went stark naked out from a trial where his father had accused him of theft. He had given two bolts of fine fabric to help the poor rebuild a church, and just renounced this world and began this total personality change. And I think it's very important that we realize that this isn't just like hip, you know, people like Father Yod, contemporary, that actually the Oneida Silver Company was also one man with a love cult that created, you know, well over 100 years ago.
So, Jody, it is a fascinating exhibition with artifacts and photographs and then, you know, works of art by these visionary artists, one of whom is the end, sort of where the exhibition is framed. It's from St. Francis de Finster. The Reverend Howard Finster is perhaps the most prolific self-taught artist on the scene. Tell us about him. You've had some fairly significant interactions with him over the years.
I did. I was so fortunate to get to meet him and spend time with him in the late 80s and beyond. But since the late 80s, when I went down and visited Paradise Garden, which is this extraordinary environment that he created in the 70s, one of the most significant self-taught environments in the world. And Howard Finster was a young man down in Georgia who grew up a part of a large family, became born again when he was very young, and started preaching when he was about 16, and ended up becoming a tent revival preacher and also the resident pastor for 10 years at another church. He ministered to a number of churches before he one day asked a number of his congregants if they could recall the sermon that he'd preached, and none of them could recall what he'd talked about. And so he decided that he wanted to create another form of sharing God's messages that people would remember better. And so he ended up starting to paint. He actually had a vision which got him to start painting sacred art, and this was in 1976 when he was just 60 years old. He was busy repairing a customer's bike. He repaired bikes, and he was a fix-it man. And he was rubbing the paint down with rubbing the bike down with white paint, and suddenly he just became sort of transfixed at a little paint smudge on his thumb, which all of a sudden became this perfect human face. And he had this feeling come through his body, and all of a sudden this face on his finger said, "Paint sacred art." And he said, "I can't, I don't know how." And then this voice, which he considered to be God's voice, responded, "How do you know you can't?" And that was when he pulled out a dollar bill from his pocket and immediately started painting his own version of George Washington. And this became a career that led to over 46,000 numbered works in the name of God. So maybe the most prolific artist, perhaps, of the 20th century.
Yeah, and he didn't start until he was 60 years old.
Exactly.
How long did he live?
He passed in 2001. And was born in 1915. He lived a very long time.
But his painting career was, you know, only 20 years or so. I mean, a lot of people, you know, haven't produced 46,000 works and you know, an 80-year career. But, yeah, that's quite fascinating. Yeah.
It's just remarkable, and he reflects a number of the artists in the show who, after they receive this sort of flowing from spirit, you know, they sort of access these other places. They become extremely prolific and just create this extraordinary amount of works, sometimes in different areas. Walter Russell's another artist who was a polymath and did that. Many others. Yeah.
And Rebecca Hofberger, then this really is sort of an examination of the muse, if you will. I mean, there are artists all over, you know, history who have a particular individual or a particular place or a particular animating force in their lives that helps them create work. But some of these visionary artists find that muse, you know, directly from voices they hear and from experiences that aren't the, if you will, the traditional muses.
Absolutely. You have Ramanujan, the great Indian mathematician who astounded the world with his formulas, and won during a time where there was a lot of prejudice against the Hindus, particularly from England, the field prize in mathematics. But he said it was the household Namagiri, the goddess, that dictated the formulas. And what's so interesting is that many years after, there were some obscure equations he had come up with, formulas, and it turns out they're about the best description for wormholes and stargates, something that wasn't even thought of when he was receiving and writing them down. So I'm very interested in what inspires human beings, and really, that's for all of us. So on February 1st, starting at 1 o'clock, we're going to have a free day partnering with the integrative medicine folks, bringing in the best neurocognitions, because right now there's a lot of, you know, worldwide focus on what makes someone creative, you know, and some of it's been done, you know, here in Baltimore at Hopkins, but really the creativity cap in Australia. It's fascinating, and hopefully it'll help us all ignite the very best of us for whatever time we have alive.
Well, Jody Willey, thank you so much for your time. This is a fascinating show with, you know, art from everybody from Jimi Hendrix to people you've never heard of to Howard Finster, who, you know, produced so many things. And the collection is really quite fascinating. So thanks for your time today. Appreciate it.
And
thank
two
you.
Locals,
it's such
too.
A pleasure.
Three locals. We have Deepak Chowdhury's work, Judy Tallwing, an Apache elder, and we have Dr. Bob Hieronymus dealing with the inspiration, the surprising inspiration behind the Founding Fathers.
Indeed. So that's at the American Visionary Art Museum. Rebecca Hofberger is the founder and director of AVAM. Jody Willey is the filmmaker and co-curator of the museum's current exhibition. It's called The Visionary Experience, St. Francis de Finster. It's there until the end of next summer. And tomorrow, by the way, is a great day to head over to AVAM as part of Free Fall Baltimore. Admission to the museum is free tomorrow from 4 to 7. And just in time for Halloween, there's a lantern-making workshop at 4 o'clock. You've got to bring your own bottle and a free screening of the classic film Ghostbusters on Federal Hill at 7 o'clock. So we've got a link to all the details on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Maryland Morning is an original production of Your Public Radio, WYPR in Baltimore. Matt Purdy, Jamila Kay, Payam Agagasam, and Elizabeth Sherwood all do stuff that makes everything you hear possible. Nathan Sterner directs and engineers and keeps the Maryland Morning train running on time. You can check out wypr.org/Maryland Morning for the archive of past shows, and click on wypr.org/listen to stream our show live. On Friday, the voice of the Ravens, Jerry Sandusky, that's Jerry with a G, not that other guy in Pennsylvania, he's coming over from WBAL to talk about his dad and the book that he wrote about growing up as a coach's son. We'll talk some Colts and Ravens football Friday morning on Maryland Morning. Until then, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.